Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining today's discussion. I'm Ami Copeland, Executive Director here at Business Forward, and I'll be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We're very pleased to welcome Ms. Elizabeth Littlefield, the President and CEO of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, the U.S. Government's Development Finance Institution. She is here today to discuss the services OPIC offers, including financial products such as loans and guarantees, political risk insurance, and support for investment funds to help American businesses expand into emerging markets. For those of you who are new to our programming, Business Forward organizes local roundtables, Washington fly-ins, conference calls, webinars, and media trainings for tens of thousands of business leaders from across America. At these briefings, entrepreneurs, investors, small business owners, and executives get the chance to brief policymakers on issues affecting their businesses, how to create jobs, and how Washington can work with business to accelerate our economy. To date, more than 450 senior administration officials, members of Congress, governors, and mayors have participated in our programming. This is all thanks to the support of more than 50 of America's largest and most respected companies. Before we get started, I want to go over a few housekeeping items. First, this discussion is on the record and press may be present. A recording of this call will be sent out after, along with resources that are discussed today. Second, there will be time for you to ask questions and share your advice. You can do this in one of two ways. You can press 1 at any time to ask your question live, or you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. We'd like to get in as many questions as we can, so again, you can press 1 to ask your question live, or you can send your question to info@businessfwd.org, and we will add it to the queue. Okay, now let's get started. Please welcome Ms. Elizabeth Littlefield.
Thank you very much, Ami, and thank you to the whole organization at Business Forward for the terrific work you do and for gathering together such an impressive group of folks that I gather have RSVP'd for this call. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with all of you, and hopefully we'll be able to find ways that we can work together through the course of this conversation. So, as you all probably know, more and more U.S. companies, individual investors, diaspora investors, are looking to invest in the very fast-growing overseas markets in order to expand their businesses, to compete, to generate more income for themselves and their companies, as well as to create jobs both at home and abroad, and to take part in the important economic development of countries across the world. They're doing that basically to take advantage of the growth opportunities in these fast-growing markets, many of whom are growing at multiples of growth in the U.S. And also they're doing it because countries throughout the world have invested deeply in creating more investment-friendly environments in their countries. So they've invested in things like making licensing and permitting clear, making tax systems more predictable and a level playing field there, in making it easier to open a business and employ local employees. So countries have made an effort, and we're seeing companies in the U.S. responding to that. So it's exciting times for those of us that are involved in catalyzing foreign direct investment from the U.S. into these markets in Latin America, in Asia, in the Middle East, Eastern and Central Europe, Africa, et cetera. Investors are investing in things like energy, infrastructure, water and sanitation, tourism, real estate, housing, and many, many other different kinds of sectors. So quickly turning to OPIC, as Ami mentioned at the front, we are the U.S. government's development finance institution, and as such, our job is to stimulate private capital flows into developing countries in the service of their economic development. And in so doing, of course, we're supporting U.S. businesses expand and invest abroad, creating jobs both at home and abroad. Now, how do we actually do that? Like, how could one of the companies that you may represent on the phone use our support? Well, first of all, our job is to provide the tools and risk mitigation services to create additional incentives for investment and to reduce risks of that investment. So, for example, to accompany, say, your initial capital into a project in an emerging markets country, we could provide loans, such as long-term loans, out to as long as 18 or 20 years, in amounts of anywhere from, say, $500,000 all the way to $250 million plus. We can also provide political risk insurance so that you as an investor can focus on the commercial risks and we take care of all the political risks that might surround that investment in a country that you may not have invested in before. So the kinds of risks that that political risk insurance would cover are things like the inability to convert your dividends that are earned in that country back into the U.S. because suddenly the currency is not convertible. We cover that risk. The expropriation that one might encounter in investing in these markets, either creeping expropriation through disadvantageous taxes or other kinds of expropriation, and then a political violence. So those are the kind of things that our political risk insurance would cover. So who are our clients? So our clients are small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses, nonprofit organizations, private equity investors, sometimes individuals who are investing their own capital into a project in one of these countries that is positive for the development of that country. As distinct from the Export-Import Bank of the United States, who finances the export, the sale of goods and services from the U.S. into emerging markets, our financing is to accompany the export of capital from you to into one of the developing countries in which we're open. Our clients, are about two-thirds of them, are small and medium-sized businesses, but we also work closely with some large companies, and as I mentioned earlier, individual investors, private equity funds, and sometimes nonprofit organizations that are investing in things like, say, microfinance in emerging markets. Where are we investing? We're investing alongside many of you in Latin America, in Asia, in Eastern and Central Europe, in the Middle East and Africa. We're actually open for business in 160 different countries and currently active in about 105. Just a quick snapshot of the numbers. Well, we're growing fast. Our portfolio today is about $20 billion spread across those emerging markets regions pretty evenly. As I mentioned, we're open in 160 countries. We do about 100 transactions a year, both lending transactions and insurance transactions. And because we operate on a commercial basis and are rigorous in the risks that we take, we only lose about 1% every year. We write off about 1% net of our recoveries every year. And that enables us to operate as a self-financing investment bank focused on development, which means that we're able to return money every year back to the treasury to reduce the deficit and keep us in a self-sustaining financial cycle. So maybe just a couple of examples of the kinds of projects that we would finance, just so you can frame it in your own mind whether your project might be eligible for OPIC finance. So say you are a U.S. company exporting frozen food products to West Africa, and you need to build a cold storage facility in the region to maintain overseas inventory and to grow your regional distribution network. You need a long-term loan, which would be secured by overseas collateral, but the banks aren't willing to lend into that country. So that's the kind of project that we would be able to consider as an overseas project finance loan. Another example might be, say you're a housing developer who just won a contract with the Ministry of Housing in some Central American country to build 2,000 low-income homes for that country's urban population. You want a construction and development loan to build out the site and build out the infrastructure and construct the first 500 units. That also is the kind of thing that OPIC may be able to finance. Or say you're an engineering company that's developed an efficient bio-waste mechanism to provide energy from municipal waste. It's worked well in a couple cities in which you've tried it in the U.S., and now you want to roll it out in Haiti. You've raised $3 million from friends and family, but you need another $3 million to develop the site and construct the facility. That's another one that we would be very pleased to look at. So what do we look for in the projects that come across our desks? Well, I would say five things. First, they need to have a positive development impact on the country in which they're operating. That could be renewable energy, low-income housing, tourism, things that are creating jobs and tax revenues in that country. Second, it needs to be a private sector project with a U.S. company involved somewhere or a U.S. individual involved in the project. We can't work with organizations that are state-owned organizations or state-managed organizations. Third, you would need to represent to us that the sufficient funding is not available in the way you need it from the commercial banks. In other words, we have to show that we're taking risks that the private banks would not take. Fourth, you would need to demonstrate that you're able to comply with OPIC's rigorous environmental and social standards. And fifth, of course, in some ways most important, we would need to be comforted that this project was commercially viable, that it had a credible business plan, and sound partners involved. So that's basically the outline of what we do. We're very proud that U.S. businesses are investing more and more in the critical things that countries throughout the world need in order to develop and prosper. And our job is to make sure that we contribute to the maximum of having that happen, and ideally happening with U.S. companies. So if you're ready to do this, we're absolutely ready to explore supporting you. Our teams at OPIC are rigorous, but they're fair. They're very client-focused. They're very solution-focused. But we also believe that getting to a quick no is a lot better than a slow and uncertain maybe. So we aim to give the clients' inquiries that come in to us a roughly 24 to 48 hour, roughly a thumbs up or a thumbs down as to whether we think your description of the project and what we're able to see from a first glance is something that we can work with. So if your project meets our eligibility criteria, we will work very hard to make sure that we can support it and that you can succeed. So with that, I would welcome any and all questions about how we might work with you and how we market our services, and anything else you'd like to pose. Thank you very much.
Great.
And thanks again, Ami.
Thank you so much, Ms. Littlefield, and now we'll open it up to your questions and comments. If you have a question, please press 1 to speak live on the call, or again, you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. If we call on you to ask your question live, please be sure to mention your name, where you are calling from, and the name of your company. Our first question is actually coming from Dallas, Texas. It was submitted online. It's from Eugenia Katsigris. And the question is, do you prioritize investments in certain countries where the U.S. has policy priorities? That is, would projects in certain countries have a better chance of being funded or insured by you based on them being in countries you prioritize?
Thank you, Eugenia, for that question. Yes, we are well aligned with the administration with respect to foreign policy priority countries. But as I said, we're open and ready for business in 160 of them. So we make special efforts in those countries which are foreign policy priorities. I mean, for that reason, we've made special efforts in places like Egypt and Tunisia and other countries affected by the Arab Spring. We've made special efforts in Afghanistan and Iraq in order for us to do what we can to help build a credible economy such that when our troops withdraw, we're leaving behind something that can contribute to economic development. But what we really are most focused on is pushing investment into the lower income countries of the planet and into the new and frontier sectors that will help both people and planet survive. So renewable energy, clean water and sanitation, these are all very important projects for us, particularly those projects that are significant creators of jobs and employment in the countries in which we work. So we care about foreign policy priorities especially. We care about low-income countries, but we're open for business in all of the 160 places that we're open.
Excellent. Thank you. We're going to go to the phone for our next question, and this is from Steve Wilburn in Huntington Beach, California. Steve, your line's open. Mr. Wilburn? All right. We will go to our next questioner, and this is from Simon Sanibi in Kent, Washington. Simon, your line's open.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Simon.
Yeah, Dr. Simon Sanibi of Symantec Compositing from Kent, Washington. And we're also located in North Carolina. We are an innovative composite design and manufacturing company for aerospace, military, infrastructures, and so many. My question is, first, do you have a list of countries that you are active in? And then how can we contact you to make it possible for us to access most of the things that you offer?
So, yes, absolutely. The list of countries that we're open in is on our website at opic.gov. You will find on that website a link to the investor screener. Document will help you ask yourself the questions that would enable you to determine whether or not OPIC can support your business proposition. You can also send us an email to hubhub@opic.gov, and we will answer your email immediately.
Great, thank you. Our next question was submitted from Astrid Kowalasar in Miami, Florida, and this is submitted online. And the question is, since OPIC cannot work with the public sector of a foreign government, is there a mechanism for them to engage with in public-private partnerships with both government and the private side in the countries?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, public-private partnerships, which come, as you know, in many shapes and sizes, are some of the ways that governments throughout the emerging markets are attracting foreign capital investments to help them build out critical infrastructure. So yes, public-private partnerships are certainly a mechanism for OPIC to provide financing in those places where the public sector locally is needed in order for the private sector to engage. A classic example of that is when you have a public sector energy provider to whom a private sector investor would be selling energy. So, for example, in many countries in Africa, for example, there's a public sector entity who's the offtake agreement for a generator of electricity that may be a private sector entity, such as a solar power plant or a wind power plant or a geothermal one.
Excellent. Our next question, we are going to go to the phone for, and this is from Brad Groters here in Washington, D.C. Brad, your line's open.
Thank you, Amin. Thank you, Ms. Littlefield, for taking the time to join the call. I work for Cheniere Energy. We are a natural gas exporter here in the United States. And my question, I'm curious if a U.S. company is looking to sell natural gas abroad for power generation, let's say through the Power Africa initiative, is there any tools, credit enhancement tools, that OPEC offers as assistance?
The sale of natural gas abroad from the U.S. would be more of a product that's more appropriate for the Export-Import Bank. If you were, however, investing in the retrofitting or the upgrading or the greenfield building of a natural gas power plant, natural gas-fired power plant in any one of the countries in which we're open, that would be the kind of project where we would be able to provide the long-term financing or risk insurance to accompany your capital investment in the creation and the construction of that power plant abroad.
Great. Thank you. Our next question is going to be from, it's actually submitted online, and this is from Zach Harvey in Chicago, Illinois. And the question is, what upcoming events do you have around the country where business leaders can learn more about your products and your processes?
Great. Thank you for that online question, Zach. OPIC hosts conferences throughout the country called Expanding Horizons, which is geared towards making companies throughout the country aware of the services that OPIC and sister government agencies can provide to support their expansion abroad. We do this, I would say, probably 4 or 5 times a year. And the next one coming up is in Houston on June 16th. And then we'll be doing another one in the fall in Denver and in Baltimore. And the schedule and details of those Expanding Horizons conferences are on our website.
Excellent, very helpful. And just a reminder, any resource or information shared here today by Ms. Littlefield, we will be sending out to everyone who participated on this call. So keep your eyes open for an email after the call as well. Our next question is coming from Sacramento, California. It is from David Wasaka. David, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Tommy. My name is David, and my question is, we are an import company, but as we've been doing business, we are finding more opportunities in the energy sector, specifically solar energy, and we are looking forward to do that more. But in specific, I have a project that I've been working with certain partners, which is a PPP project for agriculture in Sierra Leone, and we are really needed to see how we can get financing from OPIC to do it, to do this project. It's the government has issued guarantees for it, and we have a few private investors from the U.S. and would want to do this. Is this the type of a project that you really fund?
Well, it would be irresponsible if I would say yes, just with that brief introduction, but everything that you said so far suggests that it's very much the kind of project that we would look to fund. So we'd be happy to talk to you directly after this call to explore more about what exactly the nature of the project is. In fact, ironically, I'm actually leading an investor trip to West Africa, which is a post-Ebola investor trip to Liberia and Sierra Leone later on this summer in order to try to draw attention to the fact that there are some investable opportunities in those two countries. So maybe we should be speaking more directly about your project in anticipation of that visit. You mentioned renewable energy, though, also solar energy, and you may be interested to know that we put an emphasis on renewable energy in 2010 and have seen our portfolio grow tremendously since then. We're now doing about $1 billion a year in financing renewable energy throughout the world, solar being a large part of that. And this is because we're interested in seeing the renewable energy sector develop, but also because a lot of U.S. companies are very interested in investing in those sectors, and because countries throughout the world have made a point of attracting that investment. Actually, last year in Africa, more renewable energy was added in 2015 than in the 16 years previously combined. So we're seeing this as a very important growth sector throughout the world. So I'm excited to hear that you've been focusing on that. What kind of agriculture are you working on in Sierra Leone?
It's a rice field because one of our export products we have done is agricultural machinery and technology. And so a private land, they wanted to actually begin a rice farm. And it's you know, a mid-sized, almost $33 million requirement for the total funding. And so we decided to participate and bring in up customers and bring other private investors. But we find that we really cannot manage to raise privately all those funds. And so I've been really trying to find which ways we can do that. And we'll be really delighted to really speak to you on this investment for farm, as well as other things that are coming, especially in Kenya and Tanzania, where we are getting private farms and working with small investors to put in solar farms that then they'll feed the power to the national grid, and which is three, you know, private partners as well as public and private. And we are seeing that that's becoming more important as we've been many years exporting, and we are morphing more into that field rather than just regular direct export of commodities.
Great. Well, we would certainly welcome the chance to talk to you about that. And if you send an email either to hub@opic.gov or to allison.germak@opic.gov, she'll be happy to arrange a call for you in the next day or so.
Thank you so much. Our next question is coming from Elias Wexler in New York, New York. Elias, your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you very much for this conference. It's very interesting. I am in New York, but I'm involved in a project in Romania. Based in your description, you had a few standards that you specified that are important for you before you get an approval. One of them, you said that the project has to be a private sector project with U.S. participation. Is there a formula? Would you have a formula to know how much your U.S. participation is needed for OPEC to take a project in consideration?
Absolutely. And yes, there is a formula that you could find on our website. But the rough rule of thumb is that 25% of the equity in the project needs to be a U.S. passport somehow. So in a large-scale project finance, as you know, usually the equity is only 25% of the total project. So it's 25% of that. We're also able to accept other forms of skin in the game, if you will. So that, for example, that 25% test can be met also through construction contracts, engineering and procurement contracts, operating and management contracts, or a franchise arrangement, for example, or long-term debt. So if any of those contracts or financing provisions are made by a U.S. Company or individual, that project may well be eligible for OPIC finance. So rough rule of thumb, 25%.
Great, thank you. Our next question is going to come from Mary Flowers in Diamond Bar, California. Mary, your line's open.
Yes, I'm Mary Flowers, and with Global Green Development Group, we focus on agriculture, infrastructure development, and energy in Africa. And I had the same question. The 25%, I believe, is that the company here has to have equity. Is there also a down payment requirement for an OPIC loan, and what would be the turnaround time? And lastly, is there a special program for the diaspora or minority companies trying to enter these markets?
Thank you. Yes. So by a down payment, I assume you would mean an upfront equity contribution from the investor themselves, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So that we would consider the down payment to be the equity contribution. And sorry, could you just remind me what your second question was, please?
Turnaround time. Let's say we focus
right.
on we're looking at an agriculture program, and we are asking the host country to provide some amount of investment, but the majority of the investment would come from us.
Right. So turnaround time varies significantly for us depending on the risks and complexity of the project. If there is a significant environmental impacts, it requires public postings of information about the project, which can take up to 90 days. But I would say that from the time that an application is complete and ready to be reviewed on our website, for a straightforward project without significant environmental impacts, it can take as little as 4 to 6 months. But for a project that is complex with multi-stakeholders, where we need to do a public posting of the environmental impacts and hire independent engineers and other third party sources like that, it can be a year or more.
Great, thank you. Our next question was actually submitted online. We've had a couple of these, and this one happens to come from Camille Homsey and also New York, New York. And the question is, do you have local offices and contacts who personally discuss these potential projects abroad, or should we be contacting your office in Washington directly?
So another great question. We didn't used to have any physical presence at all in emerging markets countries, and we've found that it can be more efficient and effective for clients to have somebody locally to talk to. So we do have basically a very small office right now in Bangkok, Johannesburg, Abidjan, west in Cote d'Ivoire, and soon in Nairobi. That being said, they're very small offices, and there's a huge amount of territory to cover for each one of them. So you're always welcome to get advice from Allison or from the chief team here in D.C. We've traditionally been a sort of a D.C.-centric organization because we are so small. So I believe that the contacts for those offices are on our website as well. But why don't we, when we send out the materials after the call, we'll make sure that you have the contact names of the individuals who would be the contact points in those other local markets.
Thank you. And just for clarification, are there any offices here in the United States aside from the D.C. office?
No, there are no offices in the United States aside from the D.C. office.
Great. Thank you. Our next question was submitted online, and this is from Rafael Diaz in San Antonio, Texas. And the question is, how would the Trans-Pacific Partnership affect your funding priorities if it goes into effect?
I don't think that the TPP, which hopefully will go into effect, will affect our priorities significantly in any way, especially given that it's really focused on trade and we're focused on investment. That being said, we certainly welcome many of the environmental protections and other elements of the TPP that will certainly level the playing field and enhance standards throughout the world for trade and investment.
Excellent. Our next question is from also the phone lines. This is from Ross Butler in Virginia. Ross, your line's open.
Thank you for taking my question. Great conference call and a very timely topic for our business. We are a seafood business based in Virginia, currently with assets in Argentina, of which we're looking at expanding, and secondly, with an opportunity in Uruguay. And the whole political risk is certainly high on our radar screen. My question really pertains to ownership. Although we're a Virginian-based company, we are owned by a multinational outside of the country. And with that type of ownership structure, would we qualify for an American government assistance program such as this?
You would have to be 50% owned by the U.S. if the company is registered abroad. Is your company registered in Virginia or abroad?
Yes, the company that I manage is a Virginian-based company, but the parent company is outside of the United States.
That you would still be eligible. I mean, again, at first glance, for our financing, we'd have to look a little bit more closely into the ownership structure for that. Now, I would say that being said, both Argentina and Uruguay are tipping towards. Well, Argentina is soon going to be a high income country, and Uruguay already is. So we would be placing less priority on investments into Argentina and Uruguay than we might into poorer countries in the region. But I think it would make sense for us to have a quick chat about to understand better your ownership structure so that we can explore whether or not you'd be eligible for our support. So we'd be happy to hop on the phone later on and talk about that.
Great, thank you. Our next question was submitted online from Samantha Bernstein in Tampa, Florida. And the question is, how do you qualify emerging international markets?
How do we qualify, or how do we define? I guess I will assume that she means define.
Yes, define. Yes.
So also on our website, there's a list of countries and the categorizations of them as being low income, middle income, and high income. So we use a test that relates to gross national income per capita, and that's how we establish the cutoff points that cause us to prioritize the lower income section of that list.
Great. Our next question is coming from Gaithersburg, Maryland, and this is from Muntada Haddad. Muntada?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. This is Muntada Haddad, and I am the Director for Energy Programs internationally, and what we do is supply materials to power generation organizations, and currently we have a priority client, which is in Pakistan. It's a power generation company, and this company has been supported by OPEC, and it's OPEC has backed this company to the tune of $215 million in guaranteed loans. And my main question and concern about OPEC's approval of and granting and guaranteeing loans is two part. One is, what assurances of payback on these loans are in place, and how do you place transparency and accountability monitoring systems for companies that are being backed by U.S. Taxpayers?
So all of the investment opportunities or projects that come in our door are subjected to extremely rigorous tests, not only of their creditworthiness, but also of the character risks of the individuals involved in each project, which we review against dozens and dozens of lists and consult with many of our U.S. government fellow agencies throughout the administration. So the project in Pakistan that you're referring to probably sounds like one of the wind power projects, I suspect, and we've been very proud to support that country's embrace and emergence into a renewable energy center, really, in that part of the world. We're confident in our ability to support good projects that are going to pay back, because frankly we have a very good track record in that regard. We've been operating in these emerging markets for over 40 years, and for the last 38 years we've been generating income back to the U.S. Treasury every single solitary year. Our write-off rate, as I mentioned, is generally around less than 1% net of recoveries every year. And so we're confident that we are capable of identifying projects that are creditworthy and will pay us back.
Great, thank you. And for our final question, we will take one that was submitted online, and this is from Benjamin Bacon, the owner of Plain Space Design. And the question is, at what stage of development must a project be at for you to get involved?
Thank you for that question, Benjamin. Generally, we find that projects before proof of concept has been demonstrated or before they've broken even are best suited for angel capital or grant capital, and we're most appropriate coming in once the project has proven the concept, once they've broken even and they're ready for scaling up capital. So I would say that's roughly the test I would apply. Is there a solid business plan in place? Have they proven the concept, or have they at least been operating long enough to have begun to break even?
Great. Thank you, Ms. Littlefield. That is all we have time for today. There were quite a number of questions and comments we did not get to. If you have not yet, please send an email with your question to info@businessfwd.org, and we will make sure that you get an answer from Ms. Littlefield's team. As I had mentioned at the beginning, please note that we will send all the materials, contact information, and resources that were discussed today out to everyone who RSVP'd for this call, in addition to a recording of what was discussed today. So please check your email for both all of that information as well as a post-event survey. We always seek your input to improve our programming and would appreciate your feedback. So again, a special thank you to you, Ms. Littlefield, and the staff at OPIC, and to everyone who joined. We look forward to doing more of these in the future, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you very much, Ami, and thank you to Business Forward for curating this excellent event. So thanks. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.